Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday. Is this our first Wednesday in October, or is this the second?
It's the second, but we we're dumb. But happy October anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yay, spooky month.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Yeah, I'm honestly not feeling that many, like, spooky vibes yet, and I want to be scared.
I know. I feel like...
I want to do something scary.
I think it was like this last year, too. I think it's just COVID, maybe. I don't know.
I hate COVID so much.
Me, too.
I'm going to do something scary. I'm going to make myself do something scary. I don't know what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we go to Payne Road this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Update, me and Savannah are hanging out. So.
Oh, my God, we should.
I'm literally down. It'll be during the day, so it won't be as scary.
Good. Honestly, I would rather go there during the day.
Yeah, honestly, me too. Okay, well. Interesting. Anyway, I have one quick intro topic. Another day I get to hang out with Savannah, not only this weekend, but on Tuesday. Guys, when you are hearing this, me and Savannah will have just gotten back from seeing Harry freaking Styles. Oh my God, I'm so,
so excited.
Ugh, I cannot contain myself. Part of my outfit just got here, and I'm really hoping and praying that my other half gets here before Tuesday. Mm-hmm. To make it in time, which I think it's going to be delivered tomorrow, so we should be good.
Yeah, see, I don't have like an outfit planned.
Yeah,
which is like my first mistake, because I see people like on TikTok and stuff wearing crazy outfits to these concerts, and I'm just I wanted to join in, but I just couldn't think of a good one.
Yeah, so. It was hard. I did a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. I hope like the main piece of my outfit. This is not interesting to you. Or probably a lot of people, but I don't care, because I want to say that my main part of the outfit is what I don't know if it's going to make it here on time. And if it doesn't make it here on time, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know what? We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Anyways, we'll be new people next time you guys hear from us.
Yeah.
We will have seen Harry Styles.
I've seen him in person a few times.
Whatever. Soon enough, that'll be me.
I've seen him in One Direction twice. In concert, and I also went to a One Direction signing, so I was pretty close to him at one point.
Whatever, Savannah. I'm so jealous. Anyways, so in other news, guys, if you listen on Spotify, they have the coolest new features now where we can add like Q&As and different polls and questionnaires like to each episode. Mm-hmm. So we did the first one on the last episode, and we're gonna continue doing them because that's fun. So if you're listening on Spotify, go like scroll down and answer the polls and stuff. Fun.
I mean, you might need to wait until later in the episode, because I think we might have the questions based around
definitely wait till you listen to the whole entire episode and then do the votes on the polls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fun.
Super
and
fun.
If you don't listen on Spotify, sorry. All the other platforms are lame.
Right.
Just kidding, but I love Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in other news, I have a lot of intro topics today, guys. I'm sorry, there's just a lot going on. They identified the Zodiac Killer this week.
Okay, I saw that. I keep seeing people making jokes about it because he's named Gary.
I know.
But I also saw that it's not absolutely confirmed or anything, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought they did confirm it, like, yesterday.
I didn't look it up. I thought that it was just, like, they're pretty sure.
Oh, well.
But, you know.
Could be. I don't know. But either way.
I guess
they think
there's
not
really any way to know for sure.
Yeah.
I guess there probably is.
Yeah. In case you haven't heard, it was apparently some random guy that they never suspected named Gary. And mm-hmm. Gary actually died in 2018. So that we can't just call up Gary and be like, did you do it? So.
Right.
I don't know. Guess we'll never fully know. But that's crazy, because that has been a cold case for like over 30 years, I think. Maybe even more.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Maybe it's because, like, it definitely is because all of the podcasts and different media sources that do true crime now, and that's, mm-hmm. like, such a big
definitely thing. And, like, the genealogy websites, like,
oh yeah,
23andMe and stuff like that. That has helped catch, like, a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. A step in the right direction, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we're not a true crime podcast, so we're... But there's one more thing to talk about true crime, because, I mean, we're related, you know. You might be interested to know.
Yeah, sometimes.
sometimes. But I just wanted to say that an update, like, on the Gabby Petito investigation... is that they still have not found Brian Laundry. The manhunt is still on. And so, if anybody mm-hmm. has any information, call the Florida police. Or the FBI, yeah. or really just 911 at this point. So, yeah, just wanted to say that. In case.
I mean, also, though, like, I feel like if I saw somebody who looked like him in public, I don't know if I would even call anyone just because they're... There's so many, like,
I would go up to him. I would be like, hi, sir. He's such, like, a
general-looking guy. Like, I feel like I would mistake somebody else for him. That's true. That's what I'm, like, afraid of.
That's true.
I don't know.
Also, on TikTok, there's a guy that looks exactly like him, and his name is Not Brian Laundry.
Yeah, see, it's like so that. Funny. It's like, he does look like him. So, it's like, I don't know if I would want to, like, call the cops and just being the wrong person. Okay. But, I mean, I guess if he's in the woods, like, they're saying.
Yeah, like, I'm saying, like, if any of y'all are, like, in the woods and you see, like, a bald man not wearing shoes.
Maybe
call somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's all the intro topics I have for this week. Thank goodness. Wrapped it up.
Okay. Well, I, of course, do not have anything, so.
And we're back to normal.
Yeah. All right, well... I can get started with my story. So since we actually talked about true crime during the intro, this story actually does have a bit of a crime aspect to it.
Savannah, before you begin, so we mentioned last week, we have this common theme running me and Savannah, where we don't tell each other what we're doing before we record, because, you know, like, we need, you know... fresh we mindset the on
element,
everything.
The yeah. element of the surprise. The
element of surprise.
Just makes it more fun.
Exactly. It does. It really does. And so we don't tell each other. And somehow, every single week, our stories connect in some way. And last week, our stories connected in a very similar way. And I was like, okay, next week's going to be the real test. We're going to see. Mine also has to do with crime. So I just wanted to say that.
See, I knew it. I knew it. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it. It is actually a mystery, too, so.
Perfect.
Let's get into it. It is the Circleville Letters.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I know this story, and mm-hmm. this one is crazy. I'm excited. Yeah.
So, it takes place in Circleville, Ohio. It is about 25 miles south of Columbus, Ohio. And the current population is about 14,000 people. So it's a cute little town. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's called Circleville because I think the town square is like a circle. So
that's funny.
It's, yeah. They have like a water tower shaped like a pumpkin.
That's fun.
Yeah. And they have like a Christian university. Everyone knows each other. There's not many people who visit from outside of the town. So it's like this cute little town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or so you think.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so in 1976, people started getting these letters from an anonymous source, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were postmarked from Columbus, so not very far from the town. So they could have been sending them from the town. I don't really know how that worked. Would you have had to send them from Columbus? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think you would have to send them from Columbus.
Okay. Well, the letters claim to know secrets of the people in the town.
Oh. Interesting.
A lot of them were, like, really mean and scary, though. And they were, like, saying, I'm watching you.
Oh, that's horrifying. Why is this literally the storyline of Pretty Little Liars?
No, oh my god, it really is. Just they saw the story text. And they're like, we're gonna make this.
Literally.
Yeah, okay. So they were saying, like, I'm watching you. And also, I think some of them said, like, I know where you live, which is like,
oh no.
Obviously, you sent it to them. I don't know.
Right. Like, I mean, yeah, you did get my address. So.
Right. Like, I thought that was kind of funny because it's like, But anyway, they sent, like, the letters to many people in Circleville, but we're going to focus on the most popular story. Which actually involves crime and a murder.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I guess the other letters that were sent weren't really that big of a deal because they didn't really... I didn't see much on any of the other people who got letters except yeah. for these people. So anyways, Mary Gillespie received a letter postmarked from Columbus with no return address. In 1976, and she opened it up, and it was, like, this weird writing in, like, big block letters talking about an affair that she was having.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. So, Mary was a school bus driver, and, she was apparently having an affair with the superintendent of the school.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That's what the letter said. And the letter also said that they knew that she had a husband and kids, and their home was being watched at all times.
Yikes.
Scary. So the letter warned her to stop the affair, and she ended up, like, getting a few letters, actually, and didn't tell anybody about them. Like, she would just get them and be like... it's probably nothing, and then hide them.
Probably because she actually was having the affair. She was like, well, if I tell somebody about the letters, then they're going to know.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what the people who were sending the letters wanted to happen. They wanted this to stop. So.
Oh, yeah.
So she got a few letters and just hid them, just went about her day. And eventually her husband actually got a letter.
Uh-oh.
So her husband's name was Ron, and the letter told Ron of the affair and told him to go and tell the school board.
Oh, wow.
Because they figured that would break up the affair, you know?
Yeah.
So it was his job to announce it and to, like, put a stop to it because she wasn't going to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't, then they said that he would be killed.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty scary. So he went to his wife about it and confronts her. He's like, listen, like, I got this letter. Is this true? And she's like, no, it's not true. Like,
oh, my God. Man.
So, yeah, she denies it. So they take the letter and they just don't tell anybody about it.
Oh, okay. That yeah, was smart. And, that's smart. Right.
And he doesn't go and tell the school board, doesn't do anything like that.
Great.
And they're like, okay, well, hopefully we won't get any more. I don't know. But then they keep getting more letters, of course. Because it's like, you're not doing what they're telling you to, so obviously you're going to keep getting these.
Right. I mean, like, maybe I understand, like, not answering the first one, you know? But mm-hmm. then if I got another one, I would definitely answer them.
Or tell the police or something. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know if
no, you were honestly, having... I would definitely immediately go to the police. I would not play around with anybody leaving me a letter.
Even if you're, like, trying to hide something.
Exactly.
You would still go, though, if you're trying to hide something?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be trying to hide it. If I did it, I would just be like, I did it.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So, they ended up getting a letter that said if the affair wasn't announced in 2 weeks... then they would put news of the affair on billboards and, like, on the radio, just everywhere. So, wow. Like, they would be the ones to tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, after that one, Mary and Ron, like, they thought it could be a family member, someone sending these. And so, like, they actually had a family member in mind. They didn't end up, like, saying who they thought it was, but all the story, all, like, the articles and stuff say, like, oh, they sent this family member a letter telling them to stop.
Okay.
Right? And the letters actually did stop for a little bit after that.
Oh.
But then one night, Mary is out of town, and Ron is home with the kids, and he gets a call.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, like, all they say is that he got really angry, and he left the house saying that he was going to go confront the person who was writing the letters.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Right. So he grabs his gun on his way out the door.
Oh, no. I know.
Yeah, and he told his, that's where he told his kids he was going to go. He didn't really say where he was going to go. He's like, I'm mm-hmm. just going to go meet this guy. And unfortunately, later, they found his car crashed into a tree.
Oh, my God.
And Ron was found dead at the scene.
Oh, my God.
So here's where the crime comes in. The gun was fired once, but nobody could find where the bullet was, so it could have been from, it could have been, like, from a different day. Like, they don't know.
Oh, true.
Like, he died from crashing into a tree.
Yeah.
And they, yeah, so he could have shot at someone, or it could have just, like, had one less in it.
Yeah.
From another time.
Mm-hmm.
And the police did, like, an autopsy and everything, and they say that he had been drinking that night.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. So they say that he was above the legal limit, but his family said that he was not a drinker and that he would not just, like, get into a car and drive drunk. Like, that was not like him.
Hmm.
So, that part's a little weird.
That's weird, but also, you said he was, like, really angry, so, like, maybe he needed a little drink.
Yeah. I don't know. Because if he had been drinking before that, then I guess his family would have known or something.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. They were there.
And it sounded like he just, like, got up right away.
Yeah, that's really weird.
And went to the car. So, I don't know. So after this happened, Mary came back, and after a few days, she actually admitted that she was having the affair.
Mary.
Yeah, but she said that she started after the letters had already started.
Oh, okay.
Like, what?
Ma'am, that's even more of a reason to, first of all, that makes you look even worse.
That doesn't even make any sense. Because, like, if somebody's going to say, oh, you're doing this thing, why are you just going to go and do it then?
Oh, yeah, no. No, that is not true.
Mm-hmm. So, because of that weird confession, it seems like she was trying to confess so that the letters would stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were telling her to end the affair and to, like, confess that she was doing this.
Yeah.
But she did it in, like, a weird way, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I guess that's why it didn't work.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because the letters kept coming.
Yikes.
Yeah. So... the letters, they just, like, kept going, and then this next part, see, this whole thing goes on for, like, years. That's starts so in crazy. 1976, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're in 1983.
What? No way.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
So, in February of 1983, she is driving her normal school bus route, right? Mm-hmm. And she finds a sign that says something about her daughter on it.
What?
And she's like, that's really weird. So she ends up stopping the school bus and gets out to pick it up off the road.
Were there
she doesn't
kids
want anyone seeing that.
On the bus?
I'm not really sure. That wasn't really part of the story.
Yeah. Just curious. She was like, I gotta pull over, kids. Hold on. I gotta get this sign off the road.
I know, yeah, but it said something really bad about her daughter, so they not picked yet. It up.
Yeah.
And she found a box next to it.
Oh.
That, so she picked it up. She's like, it's weird. And she ended up taking it home and not opening it on the bus. She took it home, and inside was a pistol. And it was set up like a booby trap.
No.
So basically it was supposed to be like you open the box and it shoots. Like the gun shoots. But I guess the way, however she opened it, it didn't do that because she was fine.
Thank God.
But she brought the gun to the police. And they, like, got the serial number and everything. The serial was actually scratched off, but they were able to recover it.
Mm-hmm.
And the serial matched, this guy named Paul Freshour.
Okay.
And this is kind of crazy. It was Ron's sister's husband.
Oh.
So what? It was, like, Ron's brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law. Yeah, that's... Okay.
So they go to Paul, and he says that the gun was actually missing.
Yeah, he's like, somebody took my gun.
Yeah, right. He's like, no, somebody took my gun. And the police are like, no, you placed this here and are trying to shoot her.
Yeah.
But so they end up taking him in. And they gave him, like, a handwriting test to see if his handwriting matched the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up determining that the handwriting was similar enough for him to be charged.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which, honestly, that gets me because handwriting tests, I don't think they're that reliable.
Handwriting testimonies aren't really used anymore because they're not that reliable. Because, first of all, you can change your handwriting very easily. Also, your handwriting just changes. Like, if depending on my mood, especially, like, personally, if I'm lazy, I'll write so ugly, scribble. Mm-hmm. But if I'm, like, want to be nice and fancy, I can write real extravagant.
Right. And I think the way that these letters were written... Like, I'll post a picture of the handwriting, but the letters were so easily copied, you know, because they were just, like, the simple way you write letters, like, almost like, you know, a first grader copies the letter from like, books where you have, like, the dotted lines and you, like, copy them. I don't know. It just reminded me of that, sort of. And it's just, like, anybody could do that handwriting. So I don't know, but they ended up charging him and they had no other real evidence for the fact that it was his gun and that
the gun is pretty bad.
Yeah. But there was actually a footprint found at the scene near that box. And it wasn't his shoe size.
Oh, okay. Well, but it could have also been a random shoe.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And another thing is that, like, the handwriting tests, the way they had him do it was actually, like, they showed him one of the letters and said, okay, write this out, like, copy this letter as close as you can.
Okay.
So they
Okay, that's, like, not a good experiment. That's not valid.
I know, they set him up for failure.
Literally. Wait, that's sad. Because now I don't know if he did it.
I know. And they ended up, they took him to court, right?
Yeah.
And do you want to guess what the verdict was?
Guilty?
Yeah, he was found guilty.
No.
And he was given 25 years in prison.
Oh my God.
And he ended up serving 10 of them.
No,
but that's... it's, like, for nothing.
Because he didn't do it.
Like, it really doesn't seem like it to me. I don't know.
Oh, that's so sad.
So, here comes more the mystery part of it, though. The letters kept going while he was in jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, people...
Okay, so, like, what did the police say about that?
No, exactly. Like, people were, like, watching him in jail, obviously, and, like, all of your mail is watched.
Yeah.
And they even ended up putting him in solitary for a while.
Yeah.
And the letters kept coming.
Okay, and so why was he still... anything out. So why was he still locked up? I feel like that proves that that's not him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say that it was somebody else
like a copycat.
Copying him or something.
Yeah, I guess.
But I don't know. He even like got letters himself, which is really creepy.
Oh, what? Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
When I read you this one, you're gonna be like, oh my god. I'm excited. Okay, so Paul got a letter in jail that said, "Now when are you gonna believe that you aren't gonna get out of there? I told you 2 years ago. When we set them up, they stay set up. Don't you listen at all?"
What? Like, this man was probably sitting here in his cell. Like, what? Is that barely even English? Or I'm just dumb and could not understand that.
No, it's basically saying, like, we set you up. Oh. And you're going to stay set up. Like, nobody's going to believe that you didn't do it.
Wow. That's pretty savage.
I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, who are these people who are sending these letters?
You know? And, like, why are they after this entire family?
I know. Yeah. This is what, like, intrigued me about this story. Because it's, like, the mystery of who is doing this.
Right.
It's such a weird thing.
It's still a mystery, right? Like, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy. No. Officially, he did it because he was charged guilty.
But he's out of prison now, right, though?
Yeah, he was only in there for 10 years.
Okay. Well, that's good that he's at least out now. That's... Because I really don't think he did it. But also, like, well, I was going to say, couldn't he have gotten somebody to send him that letter? But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I know. And also, the fact that the letters kept going.
Even like, in solitary. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, but he didn't have any knowledge of what was going on in the town. And that was the whole point of it.
No, yeah, it was definitely not him.
Yeah. It's really sad. He also requested some polygraph tests just to prove his innocence and passed all of them.
Wow. Okay. See, wrongful convictions is something that really makes me really angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really angry. So I feel so bad for this guy.
I know. So he got out of prison in 1994, and by then the letters had actually stopped.
Those letters were gone for a long time, though.
I know. I want to know about the other ones, like I said
before. Same, yeah, like the rest of the town.
Mm-hmm.
They should compile them into a book. If anybody from Circleville is listening, can you please compile them into a book?
I know. I feel like the people receiving them don't want their secrets out, though.
But that would be so cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? Copyright? I'm copywriting that book idea, Savannah. We're going to do it.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to investigative journalism. That's going to be us.
Yeah. I'm ready. Okay, so I have some more stuff about this case that actually, I feel like it proves more that Paul didn't do it. It was later revealed that before Mary did her bus route that day that she found the gun, another bus driver saw somebody at, like, the same place where she found it. She saw somebody with a yellow El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
But this never came up in court, mysteriously.
Why?
Don't know.
Interesting.
And the letters actually started up again for a bit, like, after that knowledge was revealed. So, I don't know. Maybe whoever was in that yellow car, like, they were like, well, we don't want to be found out now, so.
I mean, like, are there that many yellow cars? Like, did they, like, in that town?
See, that's also what I'm thinking. Like, wouldn't you know?
Right. Like, a yellow car, that's, like, pretty specific for a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was somebody just, like, traveling through. But obviously it wasn't because they knew the secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So this story was actually on Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, too. Okay.
And they did, like, a little segment on it. And they got a letter from the writer before they released it.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
So it was, like, a threat to them. It said, "Forget Circleville, Ohio. If you come to Circleville," or actually says, "If you come to Ohio, you L sickos will pay."
Oh my god.
Like, okay.
Okay.
And then they put up the episode anyway because they're like, this is good for us.
And they're fine.
Yeah, I don't think anything happened.
Good.
Huh. Yeah.
That's really weird then.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. So
there's like a few theories on who people think it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this guy named David Longberry that people think it might be. And this was like also a school bus driver. And he had a crush on Mary.
Uh-oh.
And he actually ended up doing some pretty bad things. I don't really want to put it on here because, I don't know. But he was on the run for what he did and ended up killing himself on the run.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, I don't think he did it because the timing is just not.
Yeah, the timing's off. Yeah.
I mean, I guess he does have a motive, though, because he liked Mary.
Oh, yeah, but he definitely has a motive.
Yeah. There is another theory that maybe Mary had, like, another affair, and it was that other person.
See, that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, Mary is a little sus, I won't lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and totally. If she was already having one relationship with somebody, I'm sure it's not too far out of the realm of possibility that she could have been having another one. Or had one, like, in the past.
Yeah,
that, like, was true. Jealous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That one's definitely still up in the air on that one. Mm-hmm. Another theory is that it could be the superintendent's son.
Oh.
Though, there's only, like, one reason why people think it could be this, because some of the letters are signed with W, and his name was William, so.
Oh. Well.
I mean, could be.
I mean, that's a pretty solid fact.
Yeah, I mean, he would have, like, motive, because he's like, I mean, that's my dad, like.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And the fact that in this case, it doesn't seem like the superintendent really got any letters. Like, I don't know if he did or not.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't both people in the affair get the letters?
Exactly. Or I was going to say, like, what if it's the superintendent?
He's just doing it to himself.
I don't know. Hmm. He's like, I need my big scandal.
I mean, he did get rid of Ron. I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody in this town is suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this last one is who I think it actually could be.
Ooh, okay.
Paul's ex-wife.
Oh.
So, this would be Ron's sister.
Okay.
Which, I don't really know when they ended up getting divorced, because in part of the story it says that that Paul was, like, the brother-in-law, but then it says that they got divorced, so I don't really know. But eventually they did get a divorce, I guess. So this is actually what Paul believes himself, too, that it was his ex-wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I guess when they split up, she lost custody of the kids and lost the house.
Oh, yeah. So she definitely had some motive then.
Yeah. And when he ended up going to prison, like, she got that back. So.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And people are thinking that the guy with the yellow car was her boyfriend.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me.
And she could have had access to his gun.
Yeah, she sure could have. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to go with that theory.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to think that it's her too. But
did they, like, question her or anything?
You know, I don't really think they did. Like, I think she just, if she did it, she got away with it pretty good.
Wow, I mean, that's crazy. Wow, whoever did it got away with it. Because it definitely wasn't, what's his name?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this story's pretty crazy. It's also crazy that, it's like, the letters were so evil sounding and, like, mean, and then it turns out only one person ended up dying, and it was because of a car crash.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's because he was, like, drinking probably.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm glad nobody else died, at least. I just, like, wonder, I just have so many questions. Like, why was this person sending letters to everybody in the town? This sounds like an episode of Riverdale.
I know. No, it does. It sounds like one of those random, like, CW shows.
Literally.
Yeah. It's crazy. And also, people also theorize that, you know how I said, like, Ron wasn't a drinker and people don't think he was actually drinking that night? Mm-hmm. Like, somebody, like, people think that they somehow got alcohol in his system so it would show up, but he didn't actually drink.
Well, how in the world really would they do that?
Yeah, I don't really know, but
I mean, I'm like, sure it's possible.
Can you inject it?
I don't know. I don't really know. You can butt chug it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the mystery of Circleville Letters. I think Circleville is back to its normal, you know, happy town self, but they still have this, like, haunting history.
That's really crazy. I just want all the letters. I want to read them in a book.
I know. And I thought this story was a little bit Halloween-y just because, like, you know, somebody stalking you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's, scary. Like, such a big fear of mine. I've been through it. So
scary.
It's
maybe someday you'll tell us this story.
Yeah, one day for sure. But yeah, that's is definitely scary, definitely spooky. But So my story today is the legend / mystery / history. Just where it's all of the things today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But of Alcatraz, the prison.
Oh my God.
Yes. So. You know, yours was, like, a real crime, and mine is a prison where whoever sent those letters should be.
Right, yeah. Oh, I also, before you start, I wanted to throw in another thing that, like, maybe it could have been, like, a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to say the Illuminati sometimes, like, I don't know.
Yeah. It could have been the Illuminati, or it could have been just, like, a little circle of, like, little preppy elite people, like, who think that they're better than everybody in that little community.
Yeah, true.
Because, like, I can totally see some, like, suburban moms in that community just being like, let's get revenge on Heather or Mary. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just made up a random name, but I know Heather's Mary. I could totally see that happening, too. Just because, like, they're bored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would maybe do something like that.
Yeah. I mean, not
just
really.
Just kidding. That's a good theory.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, into the legend of Alcatraz. So, I think probably everybody has heard of Alcatraz in some way or form, you know. But just in case you haven't, Alcatraz Island is a very small island that's located in the San Francisco Bay in California. And it is actually home to one of the most haunted prisons in the world. Dun, dun.
You beat me to it. I was about to do that.
I had to make that one real dramatic. Yeah. So Alcatraz was built in 1859, but it actually didn't become a federal penitentiary until 1934. So I don't really know what it was doing for that amount of time, but it was just showing there. But so Alcatraz housed many of the world's most notorious and dangerous criminals from 1934 to 1963. And there were multiple, like, prison personnel murders, inmate suicides, like, escape deaths. Like, a lot of bad stuff went on here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a long time, but I thought it was open for longer than that.
I always think things are open, like, way longer than they are. Like, prisons and, like, places like this, like, I feel like they do not stay open for very long.
Like, this is on an island and everything. It probably took so long to build, and then they just opened it for, what, like, you say 30 years?
Yeah, like, 30 years, yeah. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I really don't. Well, I think that they might have closed it because of... Actually, you know what? I didn't even look into that, but that might need to be something I do, because... Anyway, moving along.
Yeah, it probably has something to do with, like, the stuff you're going to talk about anyway.
Yeah, so. Definitely. So, anyway, to say the least, many people died here, and the people that did die here were literally some of the most evil and criminal people on the planet. So it's safe to say that these ghosts are definitely not going to be the nicest of ghosts. The most famous inmate at the prison was Al Capone. So shout out to Al, my man. Just kidding.
Shout out to this criminal.
So this prison, okay, so it was a maximum security prison. Supermax, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's on an island.
Yeah.
How are you going to get off of
there? It's real serious. Well, you say people don't get off, but I don't know. We'll have to see. So inmates here, like, have super, super minimum privileges. And prisoners who would break the rules would literally be sent to what's called a strip cell. And strip cells have no lights, no sink, no mattress. It's literally a small, completely empty room with a circle on the floor to use as a bathroom.
Okay, like, that's just
I know
horrible.
I know. And so even though it had some of the most evil people in the world, they were treated absolutely terribly and lived in absolutely horrible conditions, which is why I do think that it closed down, but I'm not 100% sure because I didn't look it up.
See, I just have mixed feelings about stuff like that.
See, it's hard.
It's like
hard.
People in prison, like, sure, they did bad things, but also, I don't know if you should treat people like that.
No, you definitely shouldn't. Like, I mean, like, I won't lie. Like, some of these people were murderers, and, like, it sucks, like, that they had to do that. But also, like, I mean, they're still human. Like,
yeah.
We can still treat them with respect. I mean, they're locked up for the rest of their life. So, like,
yeah. And know. it's almost as if you're, like, the people who are enforcing this and everything are just as bad.
Yeah, exactly. It makes the person doing it just as bad as they are, as they were in the moment. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, but, like, these people did not deserve to be treated that bad. Like, nobody should be in an empty room, stripped completely naked with a hole in the floor as a bathroom. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
A little ethics tangent there.
Yes. So, now that we have a little bit of background, how about we just go ahead and get into the juicy good stuff. The most popular cell, and the scariest, apparently, is cell 14D. An inmate was in this cell, and right before he died, he was screaming that a creature was going to kill him, which is interesting. And he hung himself, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
And so the creature, I don't think, killed him. He, like, hung himself. But why that's interesting is that in the same cell, another inmate that died in that cell claimed that he saw red eyes in the cell and that he needed to be moved. And when the guards came to check on him, he was found dead, completely alone, and he had been strangled to death. But he was completely alone.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. What happened with that? So,
and he had nothing around his neck, like, he didn't do it to himself.
No, like, yeah, no, he did not do it to himself, the second guy. So I think that it's, like, really weird that multiple inmates have said that they've seen, like, this creature in this cell.
Yeah.
Like, what are they seeing? Like, what is that creature? So I wonder if it's just, like, because, so the D block, I'll get more into the specifics of the D block. But the D block is for, like, the worst prisoners, you know, the bad behaved ones. And so this is where, like, the solitary confinement is. This is where, like, the worst cells are. Like, you don't want to be in D block.
Okay.
As a
so
prisoner.
Was that one of the cells that had, like, no light and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they could have just, like, you know, been going mad, or maybe something was in there. I don't know. I think it's weird that, like, two different people have said that they've seen the same thing.
Yeah.
And they both ended up dead. Like, that's real weird. But, so, many visitors, like, after it closed, like, who have been on tours there, say that they feel an extreme coldness wrapping around them when they step into this cell. And actually, cell 14D is proven to be almost 20 degrees colder than all the other cells on the floor.
Oh, what?
Isn't that crazy? And I'm like, are they doing that on purpose? Maybe. But they could not be. I don't know.
I know, like, it could be something with, like, the air conditioning. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who knows? But still really weird, though. So, 14D is, like, the most haunted, like, really weird situation stuff going on. So, but like I said, the entire D block is very haunted. This held the prisoners with the most restrictions. So, like, as I said, the bad ones, like, no contact with the general population. Like, they don't leave the cells to go to work or anything. Like, they don't do anything. They just stay locked up. So, it's also where the hole is. And so the hole is one room. And this is, like, the solitary, the worst place you'll go. Like, you have to be doing something real bad to be sent to the hole. Okay. And the hole is this, like, it's just, like, imagine, like, a dingy basement, concrete slab, like, no light. Like, you're in pitch black darkness, like, locked in there with a hole in the ground.
I don't want to imagine that.
Yeah, don't actually imagine it, because it's bad.
That, so, doesn't that, like, hurt your eyes after a while? Cause
oh, wait, I'm sure it has to. I'm sure it has to.
If you really have no light.
Literally.
Or anything, then, like, you can't even go into a cave like that after a while. Like, I know. You'll go blind, right?
I don't know. And literally, solitary confinement has been proven, like, today. Like, it is unbelievably bad. Like, to keep anybody in complete isolation of anything, that will drive anybody mad. Like, mm-hmm. It's just proven. Like, especially if they're in complete darkness. Oh, no.
So, yeah. See, I get, like, almost crazy after I've just been alone for a few hours almost. Like, sometimes literally. I'm just like, I'm so bored, I can't do it. Like, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah,
if I ended up in there somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, it would not be good for me.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, they hear all, like, the normal things in the D block, you know, like, cells opening and closing, screaming, moaning, like, shots, like, they, like, guns firing, like, just all the typical ghost stuff happens in the D block, plus the scary stuff. But there are also cell blocks A, B, and C, and visitors and people, like, who work there claim to hear crying and moaning all of the time, like, almost constant. Even though, like, nobody's in there.
Oh, no.
Which is really creepy.
That's scary.
It's just sad. And apparently, there's also an evil spirit. And I don't know which particular A, B, or C block it was in, but one of those.
Okay.
But his name was Butcher. Apparently, like, a medium, he said to the medium that his name was Butcher. And according to the records, after, you know, they had the medium come in, there actually was a prisoner whose nickname was Butcher, and he was assassinated back in the 1940s. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which is really crazy, because she did not know that. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. But probably the funnest fact that I'm going to give you guys. Also, this is just a bunch of fun facts. Like, I have, like, a little story at the end, but there's just a lot of different stories about stuff that goes on here.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably way too much to just, like, fit into one.
Oh, absolutely. Thing, I could probably do, like, 3 episodes on this. Yeah. But my personal favorite fun fact is that people claim to hear banjo music in the bathroom and shower area. And I was like, excuse me, what? When I read that, I was like, what did you just say?
That's amazing. That's actually so funny.
Right. So apparently, Al Capone himself, my main man, Al, actually spent his last years in Alcatraz strumming along with the prison's banjo band. But he was actually so scared that he would get killed or get in trouble, like, if he played his banjo out in the open. Because, I mean, he was, like, the most famous criminal there. Everybody, like, I would even want to say, like, oh, I killed Al Capone. Like, he was, like, not safe there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
They're like, I killed him while he was strumming his banjo.
He was playing the banjo, the good old banjo. So he was like, I'm not going to, he was like, he would, like, practice with the band, but he would play only in the bathroom or shower. So that's really crazy.
Oh, my God. And the fact that they had a banjo.
A banjo, like, band? I know.
That's so, oh, my God.
It really is funny. So, a little bit more about Al Capone. though. So while he was there, he got in so many fights with inmates all trying to, like, kill him and stuff. Because literally some of the people that were in there were some of the people that he had wronged, like, financially right, and stuff. So, yeah. Like, everybody was after him once he got in there. So, anyways, in 1939, he actually got diagnosed with a late stage of syphilis.
Oh.
The doctor said he did not have long, like, at all. So they actually released him from Alcatraz to be moved into Baltimore Hospital. And
that's so far.
Well, I don't know if it's Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh.
I don't know. That's just, like, the name of the hospital. It could be. Okay. Don't know. But, so he stayed in the hospital for a while, and then his doctors gave him, like, 6 months, and then he was moved to his Florida estate. They let him go and die. Like, it was only, like, a week later he died, actually, from a heart attack in 1947.
Damn.
So.
They just let you do that, though, if you're, like,
Yeah, they
about
do.
To die?
They do.
That's so...
I mean, not if you're, like, a serial killer.
So not if you're, like, have the death penalty.
Yeah, or, like, oh, yeah, definitely not. Like, or if, like, you have, like, life without, like, parole.
Or, oh, well, what did he have?
Oh, I don't know. I actually don't know what he was charged with.
I would think he would have life or something, but I guess not.
Maybe, I don't know. Well, also, they take compassion. Like, I mean, his doctors were like, no, like, he's not living. And he did not live very long, so.
I don't know. So I just always think of prisons as, like, so brutal, and they are, but it's like they really just let him live his last days at his own home.
Yeah, they did.
Hmm.
But also because, like, he couldn't move either. Like, they were like, he's not a threat.
Yeah, that, I mean, that is true.
Because he was, like, weak and, you know, old and stuff. So, I mean, I get it. I think that's very nice of them, honestly. You know?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's, I like it. Surprising.
It is, definitely. Especially for, like, Alcatraz. Like, that was, like, the top prison.
Yeah.
But he also probably had connections, I would say. I mean, he is Alcatraz.
Yeah, that's true. He probably paid someone off.
Yeah. So, actually, we're going to throw it back a little bit. So, now, done with my main man, Al.
Mm-hmm.
So, this island, Alcatraz Island, from its very beginning, has been absolutely nothing but bad vibes. So, This island dates back many, many years, and Native Americans believed that it was actually inhabited by evil spirits. Like, way long time before the prison, way long time before anything was on there. They were like, it's inhabited by evil spirits. And so, as severe punishment for violations of their tribal law, the Native Americans were actually sent to Alcatraz Island to be isolated for a long time. And occasionally, some who had committed bad crimes were banished to the island for life. So that, like, they would have to live with the evil spirits.
So it's, like, been a prison island for so long.
Yeah, like, it's been a prison forever. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that probably has, like, some bad juju going on already. And then on top of all this other history of, like, after, it's just crazy. Like, the more I kept looking, the more I kept finding about this place.
Yeah.
That I did not know about.
I didn't know about that.
Right. So, while the island served as a penitentiary, multiple guards reported, like, absolutely insane experiences while, like, working. So some of them sounds all, like, constant sounds of sobbing and moaning, absolutely horrible smells, and the scariest of all, reports of what they call the thing. So the thing is the monster that was found in 14D, because it's, like, it's an entity with glowing red eyes, which is what the,
oh my God,
that's what the inmates said they saw before they were killed.
Wait, is it the horse from the Denver airport?
You're right. It's Lucifer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just the thing. Like, what is it, though? Like, I think that's this probably the scariest thing of all. The fact that there's, like, a creature, like, ghost. Or, like, is it a real creature? I don't know.
And nobody can really describe what it looks like?
No.
Except for red eyes?
Yes, except for glowing red eyes, because it's always, like, at night.
Hmm.
I don't know.
So weird.
Don't know. Creepy. Moving on from the creepy red eyes, though. So one year, during a Christmas party at the warden's house at the time, the guards were, you know, chilling, having a good time, partying, and they started sharing stories, like, of scary things that had happened to them while on the job. And several guards told the story of a ghostly man who suddenly appears before them wearing a gray suit, a brimmed cap, and he had mutton chop sideburns. And like five different guards said that this man wearing this exact same outfit had came up to them. And apparently, for all of them, when the ghost appeared, the room got like extremely, extremely cold, and then like suddenly he vanishes and he just got completely gone.
Okay, that's really weird.
Right. Like, no bad vibes, though. Just, like, it just got really cold, and then he was gone. Like, okay, but, like...
Why does he sound like a sailor?
Right. Yeah. Or I was thinking, so there actually used to be a lighthouse on the island.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Like, a lighthouse,
man. Yeah, so, and that's why it could be him, because, like, obviously he's not a prisoner if he's dressed in a gray suit.
Yeah.
So, which that leads me into my next point, is that this island has reports of a ghost lighthouse. I repeat, a ghost lighthouse, guys.
Wait, what? How can that be possible?
So this is a new one for sure. I've never heard of a ghost lighthouse before.
Is there still a lighthouse on there?
No,
or like,
no.
It was
destroyed many years ago.
Right, okay.
So it is said that it happens all the time, apparently, but specifically on really foggy nights is when it happens the most. It's been reported that people can see the old lighthouse and it has a green flashing light. And this is guards, workers, and guests have all seen this. Like, tons of people have reported seeing this lighthouse. And I'm like, that's so weird. That is so weird.
Yeah, like, what? I almost would get it if, like, you've been to the island where there was a lighthouse, and then you're like, oh, it used to be right there, and you, like, sort of imagine it if it's foggy or something.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, if it's never really been there while you were there, like...
I mean, it was demolished, like, in the, like, 60s or 70s. Like, it's nobody probably was there. I don't know. Crazy, though. That's absolutely crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
So, moving on to this last, final, crazy, crazy story. So, I mentioned there being some prison escapes. Trying to escape. Attempts. So, from the opening of the prison to when it closed in 1963... 36 men attempted 14 different escapes. Tragically, almost all of them were caught or did not survive.
You said almost.
I did indeed say almost. But the fate of three particular inmates remains a mystery to this very day. Dun, dun, dun. We've had a lot of those, but these stories have been crazy today.
Yeah.
So, on June 12th, 1962, the guards started their early morning bed check, which was like completely normal, you know, the usual. But John Englund and his brother Clarence and this guy named Frank Morris were not in their cells. But actually, like, the guards were able to, like, they did the early morning check, you know, whatever, they were there. And then they did another round, and then they realized that the guards realized in their beds, it was not them laying in bed, okay?
Okay.
They found dummy heads that were made of plaster, and then they were painted skin tone colors.
Oh, my God.
And they even had real human hair glued to the top. So it like, literally looked like them. And the pictures will be on Instagram. Don't you worry about it. So
that probably just gave them more time to get away, right?
It was the perfect timing. So it took the guards so long to figure out that that wasn't actually them. But when they did finally realize, the prison went into lockdown and an extensive search began. And the FBI was called in after the first, like, 5 hours that they weren't found because they were like, these are really bad criminals and we need to get them. Like, they cannot escape this prison.
Right.
Because also, this is supposed to be, like, a non-escapable prison.
Yeah, and if word got out that they
escaped. Exactly. Then... Like, there was a lot of reasons that they needed to get these men. So... The FBI were called in, and it was days and days passing and passing, and these men were nowhere to be seen. So, it wasn't looking good. So, the FBI were actually able to determine that the group had started making their escape plans the previous December. And the reason that they started making these plans, because one of them actually found some old saw blades, and he was like, okay, we can totally use these to get out. So they planned for 6 months and they used like the little axe saw blades or whatever to loosen the air vents in their cells.
Oh my God.
And like, so they could like, you know, move it around and about throughout the prison, you know, which is crazy. And then they actually found this abandoned like utility tool closet that like was kind of like behind, like it was unreachable to like even from like the regular guards. Did not use it, so they would meet there and like it's, I mean, honestly, shout out to them for the hard work that they did to try to escape. Right. They were really doing it. So you know, they got the gear that they thought they would need and you know, collected it all this stuff. We don't even really know what all they had on them. So on the night of June 11th, they were like, all right, tonight is the night, baby, we are doing it. So, they get their stuff, they climb through the air vents, and they make it to the roof of the prison. There, they shimmied down the bakery smokestack and climbed over the fence to the back of the island. So, what happens next is a complete mystery, and these men were never seen again.
That's so crazy. Mm-hmm. I really want to, like... I don't know if I should be rooting for them or not.
Like, why am I rooting for them? I'm like, let's like, go.
I kind of want them to make it to mainland, you know? Like, yeah. But also, I think they could have drowned.
Okay, well, I definitely don't think they made it. But, so there are some theories of what could have happened to them. So, the first is that these healthy young men, which they were healthy and young, made the 1.5 mile swim across the bay from Alcatraz Island to Angel Island. But... With the strong currents that night and the extremely, extremely cold water, like, everybody has basically, like, ruled that out. Like, the odds of them surviving the swim, not possible. So, personally, I think that they drowned or, like, froze to death in the water or got, you know, swept away.
Yeah.
And died. That's what I believe. But, apparently, the FBI also heard, so this is theory number two. They heard that their original plan was to actually steal clothes from guards and steal a car once they got out. But the FBI, like, never uncovered any information that anything was ever stolen from, like, the prison or from anywhere that they could have escaped to, like, on the other land, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that theory doesn't really work. Some people suggest... that their families or friends could have helped them out and, like, picked them up or, I don't know, sent a boat or something. But the FBI, like, went in on this and they never found any evidence, like, whatsoever that anybody was helping them. Or that, like, they were even contacting people. Like, they weren't talking to anybody. So.
Yeah, so either they really did drown or they were just really good. Yeah. And ended up leaving and making whole new lives.
Right, right. So the FBI actually worked this case for 17 years before handing it over to the U.S. Marshal Service. And the case is still open to this day. There is still no credible evidence to suggest that these men ever survived past that day. And no trace of them has been found in the U.S. or overseas. Like, this, they have been looking... Still to this day, like, of any evidence of these men popping up anywhere.
And okay, would they have found something in the water? Or, I mean, I guess...
I mean, I think that you could or you could not have, you know? It depends. Like they said, the currents were strong. It could have washed it, like, way, yeah. way, way gone and then maybe not found. Yeah, also, it's, like, rocky. It's very rocky. In fact, they call the island the Ooh. Rock because there's so many rocks around the island. Mm-hmm. So, like, some people have even tried to, like, jump off the island and then they just, like, die after they escape.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, they could easily be, like, caught up underneath a rock. I don't know. It's not good. Yeah. It's just not good. So, what happened to them? I'm not sure. I really don't know. I think they probably drowned. I don't know. But I wish I did. What do you think yeah. happened?
Yeah, I think it's probably most likely that they just drowned.
Yeah. Same. So, to say the least, there is a lot going on this island. And I'd say it's extremely haunted. Yeah. Just, like, the history there.
And you can just go, insane. You can go and take a tour there, right?
Or yeah, no? So you can go and take a tour. I looked it up. They are $50 for an overnight tour. Like, girl, we're going.
Overnight?
Yes. Oh so the second I get myself to San Fran, baby, I'm going. So, yeah. Hmm. That is the legend of Alcatraz.
That was so crazy.
Right, like, I didn't know any of that.
No, me either. Like, I just knew that it was just, like, this prison that was really hard to, you know.
Yeah, escape from.
Get out of. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. on this island with rocks and literally. Stuff. Yeah.
And there's, like, even more stories that I could literally do a part two. Because there's so many more escapes that are, like, crazy. But that one was the mystery. So, had to get that one in there. But... Mm-hmm. Go check out our Instagram to see these crazy pictures.
Yes, and you can see the handwriting of the yes. the Circleville writer.
Yes. And rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, please. And if you listen on Spotify, go take our polls and our Q&As that we add.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got?
I guess... we have stickers.
Oh my gosh, we have stickers, guys! We have stickers! If you want a sticker... DM us on Instagram, and we'll send them to you for free. So,
yeah, until we run out, which...
Yeah, until we run out, which...
We'll see.
Yeah. But hit us up if you want some stickers. So, they're really cute. But, that's all I have this week. What about you, Savannah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, well, see you next week.
Okay, cue the music.